Here we go, come with me. There's a world out there that we should see. Take my
Zena, I'll always love you.
Welcome, everyone, to Zena and Uber's podcast, a.k.a. XNU. My name is Cass, and I will be your pod host. Also, welcome back to those of you who have been following this podcast so far. We're now up to episode number 146. This podcast show is for all the Zena and Uber's subtext stories that are out there that have not been given a voice. So, hello, and welcome back to everyone. I hope everyone is doing well. The song snippet you hear on this week's show is Far East Movement, Rocketeer, featuring Ryan Tedder. I felt that that was a pretty good song to have on the show this week. It's kind of a neat, nifty little tune. Plus, it's really cute going with the storyline that we're finishing up. In the announcements this week, we want to say our wishes and prayers for all the people out in New Zealand who are suffering through the earthquake that they've had out there, as everyone knows. If you have the opportunity, I'll have a link on my show notes for you to go over to the donation form for the Red Cross in New Zealand if you feel like you're able to donate. And please keep those people in your thoughts and prayers, because the casualties and the devastation up there is just down there. It's very horrendous. Between Australia being plagued with its massive flooding and cyclones and all the things that are happening over here, and then to have New Zealand be ravaged right now by that, it's very shocking. So keep everyone in your thoughts and prayers, and if you can donate, please, like I said, I'll have a link on my show notes for you to go to donate. On a brighter note, we're going to get right into the show. We have the conclusion of the storyline that I've been following, The Nipple Factory by JL Nikki and Honey Baked Ham. Thank you for those of you who have been emailing in regards to the story. And I'll pick another story for next week's show. Some of you liked this one, some of you didn't. Some didn't get a feedback from a lot of other people. So that's a good thing and that's a bad thing. But anyway, I'll be thinking of picking another story for the show for next week. And let's get right into the show. Okay, so of course, this time it's book recommendation time. And this actually, I'm not going to recommend a book per se. I'm actually going to recommend a story. I was cruising through the Athenium over at xenofiction.net looking for ebooks and seeing how things are. And I came across an old story that I had written a while ago, and I reread and I figured, hey, this is actually a pretty good story, so I want to recommend it for this week's show. It's called A Safe Place by Zena's Girl, and that's XENASGRRL, and it's a safe place. Now, I'll have a link on my show notes for you if you want to go and check it out. And it's a really different story. It's a story about survival, recovery, support, and ultimately love. And it's a very good story, and I highly recommend you go over and read it. It is quite a long story, so it's not something that you'll be able to read in an hour or so. It will take a couple of hours or maybe a day or two, depending on how fast you read. And of course, regarding reading, make sure that you get to read my story, which is Warrior Mine, and it's on the Athenium. And of course, I'll have a link on my show notes for you to go and check it out. Okay, in the movie recommendations, actually, the movie this week is called Pariah, the Movie. And I'll have a link on my show notes for you to check it out. Now, this movie was recommended out of one of the many film festivals that actually come out. And it's a very heart-wrenching story. From the synopsis that you can see over on the website, it's basically, the story goes along the lines of, how do you become when you can't be yourself. And it's based on the story of a Brooklyn teenager who juggles conflicting identities and risks friendship, heartbreak, and family in desperate search for sexual expression. And like I said, this actually won over at the Sundance Film Festival in Utah. And it's a highly respected movie. It won a standing ovation. The worldwide rights to distribute the film have already been snapped up. So check it on out. I'll have a link on my show notes for you.
You snapped, haven't you?
Okay, this week's snapped episode. I want to say thank you to Vanessa for sending me in this email regarding this. And I'm going to read it. It's a little bit lengthy, so bear with me. But at the end, you'll enjoy it. And it says, remember, it takes a college degree to fly a plane, but only a high school diploma to fix one. A reassurance to those of us who fly routinely in our jobs. After every flight, UPS pilots fill out a form called a gripe sheet, which tells mechanics about problems with the aircraft. The mechanics correct the problems, document their repairs on the form, and then pilots review the gripe sheets before the next flight. Never let it be said that ground crews lack a sense of humor. Here are some actual maintenance complaints submitted by UPS pilots, marked with a P, and the solutions recorded, marked with an S, by maintenance engineers. By the way, UPS is the only major airline that has never, ever had an accident. P. Left inside main tire, almost needs replacement. S. Almost replaced, left main inside tire. P. Test flight okay, except autoland very rough. S. Autoland not installed on this aircraft. P. Something loose in cockpit. S. Something tightened in cockpit. P. Dead bugs on windshield. S. Live bugs on backorder. P. Autopilot in altitude hold mode produces a 200 feet per minute descent. S. Cannot reproduce problem on ground. P. Evidence of leak on right main landing gear. S. Evidence removed. P. DME volume unbelievably loud. S. DME volume set to more believable level. P. Friction locks cause throttle levers to stick. S. That's what friction locks are for. P. IFF inoperative in off mode. S. IFF is always inoperative in off mode. P. Suspected crack in windshield. S. Suspect you're right. P. Number 3 engine missing. S. Engine found on right wing after brief search. P. Aircraft handles funny. S. Aircraft warned to straighten up, fly right, and be serious. P. Target radar hums. S. Reprogram target radar with lyrics. P. Mouse in cockpit. S. Cat installed. And the best one is for the last. P. Noise coming from under instrument panel. Sounds like a midget pounding on something with a hammer. S. Took hammer away from midget.
Well, if that is the worst thing that happened today, I'll be thrilled.
So, thank you once again to Vanessa for that. We greatly appreciated those. I think they were quite funny, but then again, I have that morbid sense of humor. So, anyway, on a brighter and better note, this week, actually today, is my wife's and I 12-year anniversary in regards of first setting eyes on one another. So 12 years ago today, we actually got to see one another. And we'll be coming up this September on our 11-year wedding anniversary. But it was a significant day because the 23rd is always a day for us that we celebrate every month. And people always ask, you know, gee, guys, when is your honeymoon going to be over? And it's like, it's not. You got to keep a healthy and happy relationship, and you do different things, and everybody has their little idiosyncrasies and their little quirks, and that just happens to be ours. So, yeah, I just want to dedicate this episode to my lovely wife and partner and say thank you, and I love you, honey, and thanks for putting up with all the crap that I put you through. I guess it's just apropos because you put me through hell, too. Anyway, let's get on with the show. It's called The Nipple Factory. We have the conclusion, and let's get into it.
Come and get
The Nipple Factory by JL Nikki and Honeybag Tam. After 2 weeks of babysitting, the two adult portions of the family had to return their lives. The critical nature of Bobby's pregnancy seemed to have eased with the direct interface of the Patton family. Sheila found herself saying goodbye and hearing last-minute suggestions. Megan hugged Sheila briefly and winked. She suggested that Bobby might like a ring to go with that ready-made family. Sheila blushed and told her to go back to her spooky Area 51. Haley flexed a few muscles and suggested Sheila might want to increase her carb intake to handle the little Spitfire. After the kids were born, she was going to need it. Wiggling eyebrows hinted to Sheila suggestively. James ran his manly hand over the soft, dark hair of his daughter's back in her snuggle pack, resting on his chest. He smiled at Sheila. Wishing her good luck, he promptly turned to his mother and kissed the boss on her motherly cheek. Telling her he would soon visit, he grabbed the ever-present baby bag and hoisted his belongings to follow his sisters. Emily had practically slept through the entire stay as she listened to her dad's voice doing business on the phone. Sarah, Samantha, and Sandra were on vacation and decided to stick around and help at the factory. Sheila couldn't thank them enough as she felt the niggling ounce of doubt for her sanity crawl back under the rock she had trapped it with before. The three girls would provide the perfect measure of security and leave the time before motherhood as rest for the pregnant Bobby. This would leave Sheila free to look after her. The girls were a godsend. Sheila gave a huge sigh of relief to hear Sarah comment,
"We just wanted to make sure there wouldn't be any strain in the little French gal."
Hillary hugged her sister and explained the natives at home were getting restless, having to eat TV dinners every night. Her two other sons and husband had called faithfully every night and asked when she was coming home. Toby had been having a blast. He was flourishing under the attention he had received from his aunts and uncles. He had even spent a good 2 hours sitting with Aunt Sheila and her Bowie knife, Lucy. She had let him hold it and everything. Bobby had watched the scene between aunt and nephew with a tear in her eye. It was very sweet, even if there was a shiny, sharp knife involved. It may have been strange, but it was very tender. It was obvious just how much she loved the young boy and the knife. After some of the women Bobby had dated, a little obsession for a knife was an easy thing to deal with. At least, she didn't have two-way conversations with it. Riley had been called within a week's time to return to assigned projects. A rocket lift was scheduled in 2 months in Cape Canaveral, Florida. She had to prep her staff and inspect the equipment she had produced for the astronaut. Her parting advice to Sheila was one word: microwaves. Amy had decided to stick around and help if needed. She walked the twin brothers, Matthew and Michael, down to the car after they both kissed their moms and sisters goodbye. Sheila could hear them sniping at each other all the way down the hallway.
"Save your breath, godlover. You'll need it to blow up your date, seeing as you're never allowed to have a real one."
"Well, Mike, your proctologist called me. They found your head."
"Oh, my poor collared brother. Hey, did I tell the one I heard at Hooters? Picture this. New York City. Man is going to jump off the building. Up rushes a good Irish cop. The cop yells up to the man,
'Don't jump. Think of your father.'
Man replies, 'Haven't got a father. I'm going to jump.' The cop goes through a list of relatives, mothers, brothers, sisters, etc. Each time the man says, 'Haven't got one. Going to jump.' Desperate, the cop yells, 'Don't jump. Think of the Blessed Virgin.' Man replies, 'Who is that?' Cop yells, 'Jump, Protestant. You're blocking traffic.'"
Michael laughs at his own joke. Amy does her best to cover her own snort.
"Dear Lord, Michael, you do know that the Book of Revelations was written about lawyers, don't you? And do I have to remind Mom of the time you tied Brownie, the kitten, to three balloons and let her float over the neighborhood?"
Bobby had watched the mass exodus and was once again totally amazed. She sat on her bed in a clean house, feeling rested, well-fed, and cared for. Nearly breaking down into tears, she watched as a family she had learned to love in such a short time picked up and left. Watching carefully, she kept a close eye on the tallest woman there, who continuously said goodbye to one sibling after another. Bobby realized that she was trying to avoid the thoughts of her, Sheila, leaving too. Mama Patton turned to check the sweet little woman, only to see the French tigress, her eyes full of unshed tears, following her eldest daughter's form around the room, staring at her possessively, without thought.
And touchdown! Scoring for a redhead daughter-in-law, even if Sheila doesn't know it yet. She had already been tagged and bagged.
As the crew left and the door was shut,
Mrs. Patton watched as Sheila headed directly toward her heart's desire.
Aw, they look so cute together.
One more kid married off. Three to go. Now I just need to get them married before the babies come.
Bobby scooted over on the mattress to allow room for Sheila to sit, even though chairs had been drawn near the bedside for visitors. Hearing a knock at the front door, the boss thought that one of the kids might have forgotten something. She moved to answer and found a stranger standing outside. A short, fat, bald man was glancing at his watch and tapping his foot impatiently. His surprised expression lasted for only a second as he looked over the woman standing between him and his patient. He quickly took the stranger in stride and shrugged it off.
"I'm Dr. Grimble, and I'm here to check in on my patient. Is Rosamond Delacroix in?"
"Yes, she is. Where the hell have you been? Do you regularly leave your bedridden patients without support? Is she just supposed to survive the third trimester without a checkup?"
Dr. Grimble looked outraged at the accusation. The short woman's voice had risen louder, and she was still blocking his entrance.
"She could have called me, madam. It is not in my schedule to check on my patients every month. This is a scheduled appointment, which she and I arranged."
Mrs. Patton's expression darkened, and she eyed the liar. One thing she did not tolerate was a lie. Her 15 children had each tried the trick and lost the battle, and as mother of her kids, she knew every trick in the book. Bobby had already mentioned her medicine obstetrician had been absent, even when she had called and left messages at his office. The Patton clan had immediately called their family doctor, and a very nice older man had arrived to give Bobby a thorough checkup. He had even brought her a video to watch for the expected procedures. Bobby had clearly been emotionally and physically reassured at his ethics and kindness to her. As the Patton creator told her he would do, he reached into his bag before leaving and handed her a root beer-flavored lollipop. Sheila had waggled her eyebrows as she watched Bobby promptly unwrap it and suck it into her mouth. Her sister Haley had rolled her eyes and shook her head. Sheila stood across the room and watched fascinated as the lollipop was sucked inward. A towel was tossed at her head from the kitchen as her mother gained her attention and pointed to two, or three cereal bowls that were left in the sink. Sheila had sighed. The obviously not needed wannabe doctor was relieved of his duties, as Mama Patton opened the door and calmly called her growling daughter over to remove the nuisance. Sheila strode to the door and eyed the shorter man as she noted his small leather bag. Her eyes narrowed at him, and Dr. Grimble suddenly felt a momentary loss of control over his bladder. The tall, commanding woman seemed to prowl closer as her stealthy walk became that of a hunter, seeing its prey. She came at him from across the room. Mama Patton smiled and wished she could capture that intimidating tactic herself. Her shorter, broader frame just couldn't manage it. Sheila reached outside the door and grabbed the blazer-shouldered pads to practically lift the man on his toes. She half-dragged, encouraging him to move back down the hallway towards the factory's exit. Mama Patton smiled and shared a wink with Bobby. Bobby let a small grin grow wider. She blinked and yawned as she sat waiting for Sheila to return. Snuggling back down into bed, she blinked at the suddenly dimmer lights. Mama Patton had sat down across the room after turning off the overheads in the once again empty rooms. The sudden quiet of the loft was delightfully soothing to her body. She loved the Pattons and the encouragement they had given her. The love they had shared was immeasurable, but the quiet was health-giving. For once, her babies were either resting or without complaint. Bobby closed her eyes and felt the soft touch of stroking fingers run her bangs back off her forehead, before making gentle circles on her aching back. Feeling every muscle loosen up and relax, she took the bull by the horns and the major by the hand, pulling the hand around her enlarged middle and capturing the stunned blue eyes with her own. She asked a simple question.
"Stay."
Sheila simply nodded with a strangely dopey look on her face before lying down on her side. Bobby immediately snuggled back into the long, strong body, feeling better than she had in years. The large hand splayed across the stomach felt just right, protecting her sleeping babies.
"Go long!"
Baby One cried to his brother.
"Here comes the pass!"
He watched in horror as his pass went wide and the football got tangled up in various cords and things.
"Oh, crap! Now how do I get her out of there? Knew we should have found something else to throw the ball."
Baby Three knew she was stuck. Stupid boys. Thankfully, her stumpeting had never grown, so her brain had stayed intact. And too bad she wasn't big enough to defend herself from the brute she shared a womb with. What she wouldn't give for a womb with a view.
"Help me. We gotta get her out of there,"
Baby Two said with Baby One. He grabbed the runt's legs and pulled with all his might, while Baby One was pulling on his legs. It was bound to go horribly wrong, and so it did, when Baby Two lost his grip and his hand slid down Baby Three's leg suddenly. We have all seen dominoes,
and you know what happens next. When the fallout had cleared, Baby 3 was still trapped above, and Baby 1's head was stuck down first below, and now there were strange ripples around the home.
Crap! I'm gonna be grounded till I'm 3!
He then tried to pull his brother out, to no avail. When the cocoon around them tightened dramatically, he knew that he was in real trouble.
Oh, crap! Houston, we have a problem!
Bobby yelled the first thing that came to her mind.
Sheila!
The cry was near hysterical, and had Sheila running from making the bed with fresh sheets to the door of the closed bathroom. Before she busted it down with her bare knuckles, it was flung open.
My water just broke!
Bobby whispered to the tall figure standing in the doorway. Sheila turned paler than the white sheet she had trailing behind her in one hand.
Water broke?
Sheila couldn't stop the stutter. Her last night's visits to the VCR video movie from hell to watch the birthing tape had left her vocals in constant state of beginnings of a scream. Sheila reached out, and dropping the sheet, she helped Bobby come back towards the bed. Sitting her down on the side, Sheila raced to the phone and picked it up. Once again by rote, she dialed Hillary, and without a pause, called in a code 2, code 4. She heard an excited squeal on the other end of the phone, but hung up to grab the small suitcase her mother had packed for the going-to-the-hospital occasion. Practically half-carrying her companion, she juggled the suitcase, and for some strange reason, she had picked the sheet back up off the floor, and it was trailing behind her on her way to the car. They rushed to the hospital, and were situated in the delivery room within minutes. Sheila was strangely enough given scrubs and told to wash and get ready. She was so panic-stricken that she followed along, docilely, a lamb to the slaughter, a rat to the cheese trap, a bug to the zapper. The disguised nurses, who were secretly a society of sacrificing heathens, had already held the form and sacrificed Sheila to walk the green mile of death row. Sheila was guided to the room where a loud, rebellious voice was screaming for more drugs. The red hair was drenched with sweat as Bobby's laid in a small twin bed with the legs propped up for delivery. Her small hands were waving in the air as she ranted,
"You spions of pain! Listen to me! Crazy butt women! I want the good ones! Gimme the American drugs! Not those cheap rip-off versions flooding in from the poor countries! Zut! Real brand-name morphine! Not the facade watered-down copycat made!"
Sheila immediately reached out and held the closest waving hand and squeezed it for reassurance. Bobby looked up with unshed tears in her eyes and swallowed at the kindness Sheila's gaze held.
"You'll be fine, sweetheart."
"Stay,"
Bobby asked in a tiny voice.
"Forever,"
Sheila stated simply. Bobby heard the truth in the promise and finally felt the shifting sands beneath the feet solidify. The huge contraction quickly sceptered into the rolling tide of chaos and once again. At that moment, a nurse came in and announced that the doctor had arrived. Another nurse held a needle the size of an elephant's trunk, and Sheila tried to avoid looking at the bulging stomach that the nurse had uncovered in fear of seeing that one special alien foot compressing outward. She managed not to squeeze too tightly as she watched the needle sink inward and disappear into her future wife's body. For a second, she was tempted to lean down and peek underneath the mattress to see if the tip had protruded. Bobby didn't even wince, and she was too busy trying to pant. The doctor walked in, and he smiled at the two women. The nurse aided him with his mask, and he walked over, checking Bobby's vitals as Bobby panted roughly.
"Now would be a really good time for a lollipop, Doc. I'm pretty sure she will let you live if you have a few."
Sheila watched the ever-increasing breathing taking pace, and tried to calm her own fear down of Bobby panting her way out of the bed. Then, to everyone's relief, the drugs kicked in. Bobby blinked a few times, then leaned back in the pillows behind her and smiled up at Sheila.
"You have got the cutest ass. I want to bite your cantaloupe."
Sheila blushed scarlet and looked around the room, hoping everyone had missed that little drug-induced exclamation. But alas, no. The three other nurses were looking back with various wrinkled facial expressions hidden behind their masks. All their secret society of sacrificing heathens expressions managed to actually cause further blushing for the tall, dark-haired militant. The doctor coughed and pretended to study his clipboard.
"How far along is the dilation?"
9 centimeters, almost 10.
Fine. Let's get to work,"
he said as he uncovered the tray nearby. Sheila eyed the formidable instruments on the tray. Her eyes roved over huge forceps and gigantic tongs, stopping in shock at the sight of a giant leather catcher's glove. She gasped. The doctor's snicker brought her blue eyes to focus on him. Twinkling brown eyes, full of affection at the young woman, showed laughter and humor. Bobby's slurred voice broke the quiet atmosphere.
Come on, Zdok. Let's push these puppies out of here.
She groaned dramatically. Sheila grabbed the other waving hand and caught it before the nurse's tray on the other side of the bed. Got flung to high heaven. Bobby just slumped down and relaxed as Sheila rubbed their hands together. The contractions must have increased, as Bobby's feeling the pressure moaned in her drugged state. The doctor took his chair near the end of the bed and lifted the paper cover. His head was out of sight for about 1 minute, when Sheila heard the most awe-inspiring sound she had ever listened to. The strong cry of a baby's vocal demand echoed around the room. Doc laughed and held the set of surgical scissors towards Sheila. She eyed the blood-smeared gloves he wore and realized she was being offered the gift to sever the cord. Her swallowed fear slid down her throat. She barely nodded and hesitated for a second. Reverently, she pulled her own scalpel out of its waist-bound casing. Lucy gleamed under the fluorescent lights. May I? She asked Bobby, who completely fascinated with the reflection of the blade in those large hands. The doctor rolled his eyes at the scene and waved to a nurse to sterilize the blade. The deal was struck. Sheila looked down at Bobby, finding drowsy eyes and a soft, understanding smile.
Hurry, Sheila. The next one is almost here.
Sheila reached over and found the bit of flesh bonding the mother and child together and sliced it apart. She saw the blood-splattered baby held by the nurse being moved to be cleaned and weighed and measured. She had forgotten to check the sex. Frowning, she watched as the second baby slid outward. Her gorge trembled at the sight, but she held it in check.
Whoa, he certainly didn't want to come out. He was fighting hard to stay inside,
chuckled the doctor. The squall of vocal anger rent the air as baby number two was pulled from his womb cocoon. Sheila, this time, noted the dangling baby boy appendage as she quickly sliced through his cord, too. The doctor handed off the boy to a nurse and began frowning after a minute and glanced over to a nurse nearby, having a silent conversation. Sheila could feel it as the tension was rising swiftly in the room. The obvious beeping noises had quieted earlier, and suddenly it registered as a loud, obnoxious squeal.
What the hell?
Last time I heard a noise like that, our chop ended in the gulf, and I had to swim 12 clicks to shore, while dragging two guys behind me.
Please, God, I know that I'm not the best little Catholic in the family, but please look after them both. I will take care of them for the rest of their lives, and you can just do this little bit for me. I promise to take them all happy and look after them for the best I can.
As her prayer was being said, she was playing with an antique ring that was resting in her pocket for just the right moment. It had been given to her by her grandmother many years ago. And if you're interested in what Bobby was thinking, it went a little something like this.
Ooh, ee, ooh, ah, ah, ting, tang, walla, bada, bing, bang. Aga, doo, doo, push, pineapple, shake the tree. Aga, doo, doo, push, pineapple, grind coffee. To the left, to the right, jump up and down to the knees. Come and dance every night, sing a hula melody.
Baby One's thoughts were more along the lines of being sucked down the drain, head first.
Really messed up my hair. Jeez, it's gonna stand up forever now. But if they give me some of that peanut butter stuff, I might forgive them for touching the dew.
Baby Two thoughts were divided equally between pickles, ice cream, and how long he was going to be grounded for. Baby Three was strangely quiet. The struggle to get free had left her exhausted. She did, however, know that she was going to kill her brothers for playing football with her.
Nurse, let's put her under and perform the C-section. Looks like baby number three is gonna be a girl, just as stubborn as her two moms.
He smiled a tight smile towards the two women. Bobby was still dancing in her head, but Sheila frowned and tightened her grip on the bowie. The doc eyed the tall woman and shook his head.
Bobby will be fine, Sheila. We're just going to get inside and extract the baby. No worries.
And that's what he did. Perhaps a little help from above. Sheila asking for help certainly got some attention upstairs. The third child, nicknamed Pepper, was born 4 pounds and 6 ounces during a C-section in surgery on November 17th. She was the identical triplet to her two brothers, Peanut and Pickle, both born 6 pounds and 2 ounces, 15 minutes early. Sheila was gloriously led to hold the three babies as her mother recovered from the anesthesia. Her entire retinue of siblings and her mother showed up at the maternity wing to look through the window at their newest relatives. The nurses in the babies' wing took one look at the mass crowd, full of tall, dark, and beautiful people. They were obviously all related. From the one glance at the oblivious woman holding three newborns, and broke out the apple cider to hand out to the family behind a glass pane. They all celebrated as they watched bonding take place between Sheila and the babies. She fell in love with the little tykes as she gazed at their wrinkled faces. They gazed up bleary-eyed at their dark hair and blue eyes, trying to imprint onto the future human jungle gym they would learn to climb on.
Hey guys, you know, I'm gonna be around for a long time, even if your mom doesn't know about it yet, so I hope you guys don't mind having me around.
Although Sheila couldn't hear him, each of the babies approved of the idea. Mom had been much more relaxed, and she was happier since the major came into their lives. Even if they didn't quite understand what a major was just yet, they figured for a good thing. Sheila was stunned that so much time had passed while she was bonding with the newborns when the nurse came to take them up to Bobby.
Mom's awake. Would you like to introduce them to her?
She asked kindly. It was nice to see a dad so obviously in love with their kids.
Yeah. How about it, kids? Want to meet Mom?
Bobby was just waking up from the anesthetic when she heard a soft gurgle and the low tones of the major talking to one of the babies.
So, Pickle, when should I ask her? Should I do it now? On one knee, beg her and give her the ring? Or should I wait and try dating her first?
Pickle would have smiled if he could have. Instead, he just gurgled his approval for the first idea. Peanut from his crib agreed wholeheartedly. Pepper just snuggled closer to Sheila's heart, liking the strong thudding against her face. If Sheila had been paying attention to Bobby instead of the kids, she would have seen a lone tear making its way from her beautiful green eyes. She might have also seen the huge grin that graced Bobby's face as well.
Then again, kids, what if she says no?
She wouldn't,
Bobby said, not wanting Sheila to talk herself out of it. Sheila put Pickle and Pepper back into their cribs and made her way over to the bed.
Okay, so,
she fumbled around in her pocket for the small box and pulled it out. Opening the lid, she showed Bobby its contents. A delicate antique diamond ring with two smaller emeralds glimmered in the Stark Hospital light.
I know we haven't known each other all that long, but I don't think life would be the same without you. So,
Sheila's original question became blurry in her mind, in her head, but Bobby got it loud and clear.
Oui.
Really?
Yes, I would love to.
You're sure? I mean...
Major, I order you to get that cute butt down here and just kiss me.
Yes, ma'am. I have a feeling I might be saying that a lot in the future.
Major, shut up.
Their lips touched. Sheila had never felt so giddy. She practically fell on top of Bobby with lightheadedness as the soft lips she pressed against opened. Small guiding hands came up to turn her slightly to deepen the taste. Ambrosia. Sheila craved more. They broke apart to breathe each other in as they stared at each other. The glinting fire building in those green eyes made Sheila tremble with an unknown hunger.
That was the most incroyable, was she not?
Bobby searched for words.
I liked it too. Can we do it again sometime?
Sheila asked shyly. The nurse at the door cleared her throat and broke up the love fest. She glanced at the three babies resting near their mothers.
10 more minutes.
Sheila, blushing scarlet being caught smooching, just nodded. Bobby winked at the nurse, who winked back.
So, am I ever going to meet our little ones?
Sheila lost her embarrassment and felt stunned.
Ours?
Bobby nodded and reached out to touch a hand near her.
Well, this little guy's Pickle. He's named for all the pickles you ate,
she said, placing him in his mother's arms.
This one is Peanut, who was named after the same reason.
She placed him in the crook of Bobby's free arm. And this little heartbreaker is Pepper, she said, not relinquishing her hold of the small girl with the soft reddish blonde hair.
Pepper?
Bobby asked curiously.
Well, yeah. You know, through so much Pepto-Bismol, it had to be her. And Pepto just isn't a cute nickname,
she explained with a grin. The nurse came in to find the happy family camped out on Bobby's bed, with Sheila laying next to Bobby as they held Pepper and the boys in their arms.
Ready to try breastfeeding, Mom?
She asked kindly, placing each of the boys into the crib. She had Sheila hand over Pepper. The tiny girl was placed in Bobby's arms, and the nipple was put near her mouth. The baby took to it like she was a desert nomad finding an oasis. Sheila watched the entire ritual and found herself amazed at the beauty. She practically fainted when the nurse told her to get comfortable and prepare for her own breastfeeding. She looked down at her pert breasts and decided that maybe the nurse was funning with her. The nurse soon returned with Peanut and held him out to Sheila. Sheila swallowed and took him. She glanced once over at Bobby and found a huge smile on her face as she looked back. Her green eyes sparkled. Sheila put the little boy bundle into the crook of her arm and found a baby bottle being thrust into her face. She couldn't help but notice the company logo of Baby's First Nipple stamped around the edge of the rubber thingy attached at the top of the milk drink. Sheila grimaced and then looked down at the baby. She shook her head and brought it to his mouth. The thingy disappeared instantly into the suctioning orifice. He guzzled the drink and looked back up at the thankful for being fed. Sheila's grimace turned to a soft smile of wonder. She glanced back at her girlfriend, saw the same smile of wonder as Bobby watched her own arm full of love.
7 days later, the Patton clan descended onto the Floridian household of one Mrs. The Boss Patton. The happy holiday occasion of Thanksgiving was about to be celebrated. Smith and Wesson, Greenback, Spook, Klingon, Razorback, Warthog, Wild Boar, Animal, Abel, Kane, Squid, Wingnut, and Piglet all arrived with families in tow. Hillary's three boys, Haley's three girls, James, Emily, Samantha's twins, Sandra's twins, Nicole's four kids, and Amy's single child all grouped together to form the Patton family portrait of the next generation. The adult and spouses clapped and cheered for the children's rapid-fire list of Christmas wishes. Suspiciously, Mrs. Patton kept looking out the window. All of her children had made it home, but the eldest and her new family. She smiled, remembering the two panicked phone calls from Sheila since the arrival of her children. One to tell her Bobby sleeping would have stopped crying at the fact she was no longer pregnant, and the kids were fine. The other to explain that she had to put in her retirement paperwork without notice. Her military career at the supply depot had ended, and the kids were fine. Mrs. Patton felt sure that the five of them would be arriving any moment. She glanced back to see the entire house filled to the brim with Pattons and Kins, wondering how the neighborhood had withstood the trail she had placed upon them. Looking back out the kitchen window, she watched a suburban van pull up in front. Her daughter was driving a minivan. If Mrs. Patton had been drinking soda, she would have spewed it across the windowsill. How times change. She used to show up at family gatherings on that monstrous Harley, all chrome and noise. That was when she wasn't on some top-secret black ops mission, doing God knows what, God knows where. My poor heart was never so happy to hear that she was retiring. Now I only have three more to work on. I want more grandbabies. She watched as Sheila jumped out of the driver's side and ran swiftly around to the passenger door to open it for Bobby. Mrs. Patton smiled as she watched a smaller woman slowly move from the van. The red hair gleaming in the afternoon sunshine was bright and cheerful. Bobby's mouth was moving, and her hands were waving with additional emphasis to her comment. Sheila just stood looking at her, watching with fascination. And so it begins, Sheila. Keep your trap shut, do as you're told, follow your superior orders, and you might live long enough to enjoy married life. And remember the most important rule. Never piss off a redhead, especially the one you sleep with. Mrs. Patton remembered her own departed Charlie and sighed with the memory of his stupidity. It was adorable at times. Hurley wandered over to see what was so captivating.
Watch her forget the kids,
Mrs. Patton commented as Hurley looked out the window.
Yep, Bobby is waving furiously toward the van. Sheila just qualified to join the ranks of husbands in this family that lost their IQ after marriage. I wonder if she sold her bike. I bet she remembered to lock the car, though,
Hillary said under her breath as she burst into a fit of giggles.
Yep, she has to go to the driver's side to lock the back hatch to get the stroller. She looks like she's about to pull out the Bowie. Wait, she's going to forget that baby supplies. That will cause her blood to burn. Bobby looks like she's mine. That will be the last straw,
Hillary murmured. As the two eyes watched, Sheila stomped back to the van and yanked the side door open once again, almost yanking a shoulder out of joint, and the locked door refused to budge.
Ouch! Bobby shouldn't really be laughing. Did I laugh, Mom?
Yes, dear. We all laughed. It's a family tradition.
The 44 Patton relatives sat down and, in the style repeated each year, held hands with the one next to them and gave thanks in prayer. The solemnity of the moment was promptly indulged by each of the 15 children, when they all stated one thing they were thankful for, along with one thing they couldn't have made it throughout the year without. Sheila started the list, being the eldest. My new family and disposable diapers. Thank you. Hillary nodded in total agreement as she glanced around the room at her triplets and husband.
Dinner time with my family and paper plates.
Haley rolled her eyes. She looked over her partner and then at the three little blonde girls they were braiding.
Mommy's patience and the infinite clothing line for Barbie.
James snickered and glanced to his wife and daughter.
My wife and daughter, a rubber ducky hour.
The list continued down the age of siblings. Megan gave thanks for the soldiers back from war, and Raleigh gave thanks for the successful three prior launches she had involved with and the X-Files Complete Seas Special Edition. All 9 seasons in one set, along with Lucy Lawless doing a cameo on Battlestar Galactica. Haley yelled, Hallelujah! Michael rolled his eyes. Sarah looked at her twin sisters, with their matching plump bodies and their two sets of twin kids. She looked down at her physically fit, trim, and toned body and shook her head. She was thankful for her good health and 100% effective contraceptives. Samantha sighed at her sibling Vanity and tissed in her direction. She was thankful for her desk job, on the force, and T-ball tees. Sandra laughed. She was thankful for no undercover work that year and for cable TV making her able to see the Australian rules football with the Sydney Swans taking the grand final by 4 points. Nicole groaned at her sister and muttered,
How does she have time?
Being the only child with more than 3 kids,
She did a quick sweep of the room to see where her four kids were. Her husband held her hand under the table and gave the rest of the table a dopey grin.
I'm thankful for my family's support while I travel and for the fact that there is no such thing as 100% effective contraceptives. I'm pregnant again. Yay.
The whole table broke into exclamations of surprise and congratulations, and one gasp of dismay that came from Sarah. As the room quieted back down, Michael gave a tilt to his head and smiled his endearing grin. I'm thankful for my marriage to God and my parishioners' good health and welfare. Matthew nodded his head.
Yes, yes, it's a great deal. I get to sin and you can save me later. I'm thankful for continued success in my sinning career as a lawyer, and blondes and brunettes and redheads. May they forever need lawyers.
Tegan sat to the left of Matthew and grinned at his audacity. She looked a little pale from the below-deck lifestyle she had led for the past few months. Her eyebrows cocked as she looked around the table.
I'm thankful for fresh air, sunshine, and my son's ability to write to me.
Amy smiled and ruffled the nearby head of her youngster, who was 7. He grinned at his mom with the obvious love for her shining strong.
I'm thankful for being assigned stateside for wartime and MP3s,
Amy declared. Everyone nodded. Jessica sat at the end of the table near her mother and shrugged. Her gesture was a perfect replication of her older sister. Bobby watched in fascination.
I'm thankful that my assignment is complete, and Gabby only had to talk once.
Jessica commented on her nicknamed handgun that she held dear to her side throughout the academy. The family all waited with anticipation for Mrs. Patton to state her thanks. She looked around the table at her clan and shook her head.
I'm very thankful for the new additions that have been made to our home. Those that are about to arrive,
she glanced in Tiga's direction,
and those that arrived unexpectedly.
She looked at Bobby and the babies all being held by members of her family near her.
I'm thankful for you all, and for the grandbabies I am blessed with. I'm thankful for all those grandbabies yet to come,
she said as she turned glaring eyes at the childless ones. Megan laughed at the obvious command.
You're a tyrannical fascist, Mom. You'd be hard to beat on the hill.
Toby had wandered near the table as the adults held their grown-up conversation. He listened to Megan and frowned.
Did you just call Grandma a dinosaur?
The whole table burst into laughter, and the feast went into full swing. 4 weeks later, Sheila lay on the bedroom floor surrounded by 3 cribs and 2 changing tables. The 3 babies were lying on her, or around her, as she talked.
Who would have thought? Hey, kids, me, with a fiancé and kids. I know. I never thought the day would come, but I sure am glad that it did.
Come on, show me the knife again. I want to see a sparkle. When I grow up, I want a big shiny knife like yours. Except I don't call mine Elmo.
Peanut thought determinedly. Pickle, on the other hand, was wondering when he could have his lunch and a nap. Keeping up with the daytime television was hard work.
Now I'll have to wait until tomorrow to find out if Hope is going to be blind forever, and if they can exorcise that demon that has taken over Doc's body. What will Bo do to save the day?
Come on, Major Mom. I want to see Snuggle. Pick me up rapidly. What do those 2 boys talk funny? Why do they grown-ups take so long to do as I tell them? And they there for something. C'est bon un tirer. Avec moi. Hey, Snuggle, pick me up right through a tantrum you'll never forget.
Then it happened. Sheila picks up the littlest baby and cuddles her in the crook of her arm. Reaching over to the small book nearby, Sheila painstakingly says, I love you and your brothers. In French, Pepper giggles and squeals happily. Tantrum averted. You think it will work on your mama? She may laugh at me, you know.
Not likely.
Bobby says huskily, her voice full of happy tears.
Put the babies to sleep and come to our bed, mon amant.
Sheila gave Bobby a wide-eyed, thrilled and excited look. Carefully, yet swiftly, she tucked the little ones into their beds. Sheila returned to the queenside bed where she had slept every night since their arrival back from the hospital. 2 women shared a deep bond from the first moment they met. Circumstances being what they were, they had only imagined furthering their relationship. Bobby lay in the bed in a silk nightgown, fitting to her soft curves. She was reading one of the books Sheila had picked up. Baby's First Year was the title on the cover. Sheila looked over the glorious woman in the bed and couldn't stop her heart from racing as she knelt with one leg on the bed. The movement had Bobby adjusting as her silk nightie rode upward. Sheila noticed a small stretch mark along Bobby's thigh. She reached out and traced the mark. Bobby let the book fall from her nerveless fingers.
Sheila?
Hmm?
Touch me.
Sheila never took a focused gaze from the skin beneath her fingers.
I am touching you, Bobby.
Her mesmerized eyes watched her own fingers tracing a pattern.
Touch everywhere, sweetheart. Make love to me.
Sheila's eyes swept upward, swallowing the instant spark of fear she looked into those green eyes and saw love shining outward. Her panic receded as she leaned down to kiss her soon-to-be lover.
Sheila.
Bobby reached up and stopped the descending lips with a single finger. The major hesitated, or his lips were pressed with a small digit.
Mm-hmm.
Bobby smiled and glanced slightly down at the overly dressed woman. She reaches down and traces over a nice bulge Sheila has on her body. Sheila flushes with heat.
Take off your clothes first, and put Lucy away, baby. I think we can handle this one without the warrior weapon, don't you?
Sheila nodded, and then backed off to remove her clothing. Sitting the scabbard-covered blade on the nightstand, she turned back to her woman. Their eyes met, and the air grew tension-filled, as they adjusted to each other in the whole new light. Sheila felt a sudden overwhelming urge to gather her lover into her arms, and never let go. She took a quick look at Lucy, and decided that she would understand. Lucy definitely liked Bobby. She moved towards her lover, and promised silently that she and Lucy would spend time together tomorrow. Or maybe the next day. The end. Well, that concludes The Nipple Factory by J.L. Nicky and Honey Baked Ham. I hope you've enjoyed that. It was quite interesting, to say the least. But I want to say thank you once again to J.L. Nicky for permission to use her story on the show. And I will be using another storyline next week, unless someone suggests something. And if you have any suggestions or recommendations, song snippets, movies, books, emails, funnies, anything that you'd like to hear on the show and share with anybody, send me an email at xena.uber@gmail.com. Don't forget to check out my story over at the Athenum called Warrior Mine. I have a link on my show notes for you. And that will be it for this week's. So until the next episode, everyone, take care and enjoy life and love. Bye-bye.